We'll now turn to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John and to the passage of Scripture we read earlier on this evening. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Now, before we consider the word of the Lord to our hearts, let us seek the Lord in prayer. O our God, we come tonight to consider thy truth. And we ask thee, Lord, for the help of the third person of the Trinity. Grant us the help of the Holy Ghost. We need his power. We need his wisdom. We need his guidance. And we pray this night that we'll have a meeting that will be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, speak to every heart and arrest souls. Souls who know not the Savior. Save them, Lord, from the fate that Judas Iscariot suffered. Grant us, Lord, now the help of the Spirit as we take up thy truth. And in so doing, Lord, help us to preach Christ. We pray and ask these things in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Our subject tonight being the white devil, a description of Judas Iscariot, the last of the disciples in our study of the Master and his men. And our text is there in verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil." We know from our study of the Master and his men that a number of the disciples were given second names by the Lord. For example, when Andrew brought his brother to the Savior, the Master said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is, by interpretation, a stone. Then when the Lord ordained the 12, he surnamed James and John Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Mark 3 and verse 17. Then, of course, there was Simon the Canaanite, who was also called Zelotes. And then there was the disciple who had three names. He who was Judas, the son of James. When John spoke of this particular Judas, he described him as Judas, not Iscariot. John was careful to preserve the integrity of this disciple, making sure that he wasn't been mixed or mistaken for the other Judas. Judas Iscariot. But this particular Judas, the son of James, had three names. He was called Judas. He was also known as Thaddeus, and was also called Thaddeus. But it is the other Judas that we want to consider tonight as we conclude this series on the Master and his men. I purposely left Judas Iscariot to the last, because he is always mentioned last in the lists of the disciples that we find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If Judas, the son of James, had three names, then this Judas, Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, had a number of names attached to him. Each name was used to describe this man, his nature and his character. I suppose the most acceptable name that he bore, and indeed the kindest thing ever said about Judas, is that he's called one of the 12. I find that 8 times in the Gospels he is spoken of as one of the 12. Another name which will always be associated with Judas Iscariot is the betrayer. Indeed, almost every time his name is mentioned or he is referred to, he is inevitably called the betrayer. Yet another name for Judas, which is only found in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 6 and verse 16. There in Luke 6:16 we read, Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So he's called one of the 12. He's called the betrayer. He's called the traitor. But then I find that the Lord himself gave him a name. It's in John 17. This great high priestly prayer. John 17. And verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition. The Lord Jesus described Judas Iscariot and gave him this name, the son of perdition. Something interesting about that name. We read of the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. It's a name that is given to the Antichrist. The Antichrist is called the son of perdition, and how appropriate then that Judas Iscariot should be called by the Lord the son of perdition. What an appropriate description of this particular disciple. For he was so anti-Christ that he was willing to betray the Lord and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. But the Lord reserves one more name for this son of perdition. The son of Simon. And here it is in our text. The Lord Jesus describes him as a devil. He's one of the 12. The Lord says he is a devil. He's the white devil. He had the outward appearance of being a man of religion, a follower of the Lamb. Yet his soul was as black and as dark as hell itself. So what more can we learn about Judas, the son of Simon? What is the scriptures that tell us about this individual? Let us begin by considering Judas and his background. Now, we are told very little about this man, very little about his background, except that he is called Judas Iscariot, and that he's the son of Simon. And yet, in those words, we can learn something of his background. We can learn, first of all, about the home of Judas. If we take the surname Iscariot, we discover that it is a name which signifies the region he came from. It is derived from the Hebrew term Ish, which means man, and the name of the town, Kerioth. So we learn from the name Iscariot that Judas was a man from Kerioth. Possibly the same Kerioth mentioned in Joshua 15 and 25. For there we read about Kerioth Hezron. So now we know that Judas came from Kerioth. He's a man from Kerioth. He was apparently the only one of the apostles who did not come from Galilee. As we know, many of the other disciples were brothers. They were friends. They were working companions even before they came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Even before they were called to be disciples, they knew one another. They were close friends. Yet we find that Judas was a solitary figure who entered their midst, as it were, from afar. From Kerioth. Although there is no evidence that he was ever excluded or looked down upon by the rest of the disciples, yet in many ways, and I believe the scriptures support this, in many ways Judas Iscariot was an outsider. Not only with regard to the location, the home that he came from, but how he behaved, how he conducted himself, he was in many ways a loner. This perhaps would have helped him justify his own treachery. It's a dangerous thing for a man to adopt a lifestyle of a loner. Such individuals usually grow very angry. They become very spiteful, hateful, having dark thoughts, despising all that is good, embracing all that is evil. I'm not talking about anyone who's left alone, I'm talking about those who adopt the position of a loner. I think this is borne out by the fact that those young men who are involved in those school shootings in Columbine and in Virginia Tech, when people inquire into their background, inevitably, the commentator says they were loners. They were strange people. They were loners. They kept themselves to themselves, didn't bother with anyone. Judas Iscariot was a loner. This man from Kerioth Hezron was a loner, a man with dark thoughts and a hatred for that which is good, and most certainly a hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought not to overlook that. Judas Iscariot hated Christ. Yes, he was one of the 12, but he never had a love for the Savior. Being a loner, he had plenty of time to think, allowing his bitterness to fester. This is something that every Christian ought to guard against. Things can happen that causes Christians to become loners, to isolate themselves from others. Sometimes Christians are offended. Something has happened to them and they become offended. Something said to them and they withdraw themselves. And they don't want to bother with anybody, and they don't want anybody to bother with them. And there they sit in a position of isolation. And the more they sit there and the more they think about their circumstances, they become very bitter. They fall into the gall of bitterness. Become spiteful and angry. This is not healthy. Christians need fellowship. There's no way around that. Christians need fellowship with other Christians. You remember the old open fire we had in our homes. Still have in some places. And you would stack the coals up on a winter's night. The coal would get nice and red and burning hot. And then maybe a piece of coal would fall out of the fire onto the hearth. It would fall out, and when it fell out of the fire, it would be burning red. But if it lay there, it would soon lose its redness and it would soon lose its heat. And after a while, you could pick it up with your hand and put it back into the fire again. It got very cold. It's like the Christian. When we take a position of isolation, withdraw ourselves from the fellowship of God's people, we get very cold in heart. Believers need fellowship. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's good and it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's why we love the house of God. We love the fellowship of God's people. It's good and it's pleasant. So we've learned now that this man, Judas Iscariot, we've learned something about his home. Came from Kerioth, Hezron. So we have the home of Judas. And then secondly, we want to look at the hopes for Judas. Now we've been told, and we're told here in this verse 71 of John 6. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. I believe that Simon, father of Judas, was a man who had high hopes for his son. I believe this is borne out in the name he gave to his son, namely Judas. What does Judas mean? Judas is a form of the name Judah. And it means Jehovah leads. Now Simon would have known the meaning of the name Judas. And he purposely gave his son this name, Jehovah leads. Was Simon not expressing in that name his desire for his son? Was it not his prayer that Jehovah would lead this son of his through life, that he would become a follower of Jehovah? Isn't that interesting? That his name means Jehovah leads. It was the prayer, perhaps, of his father that his son would become a follower of Jehovah. And what do we find? Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. Would have been known as a follower of Jehovah. A follower of the Lord Jesus. Now we don't know if Simon was alive when Judas became a disciple of the Lord. Perhaps he was, and if he was, I wonder would Simon have been delighted to know that the desire he had for his son when he was born had been fulfilled. As he saw his son Judas, a follower of Jehovah, a follower of the Lord Jesus. But then it all went wrong. It all went wrong, and instead of being a man led by Jehovah, he became a man led by the devil. Instead of being remembered as the son of Simon, this Judas will always be remembered as the son of perdition. If he was still alive and heard what his son had done, I wonder, was Simon heartbroken? The son he had high hopes for became a low down traitor and a betrayer. His name also means praise. Judas means praise, as well as Jehovah leads. And I'm afraid Simon had no reason to praise the Lord for his son. I have no doubt he praised the Lord for his son when he was born. But the way he turned out would have broken any father's heart. Proverbs 10 verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And many sons and daughters have broken their parents' hearts through their foolishness. So we have the home of Judas. We have the hopes for Judas. Simon had high hopes for his son. Next, we want to notice the hopelessness of Judas. Every unconverted soul, we know, is in a hopeless state. There is no hope for that soul outside of Christ. He is without hope, being without God. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. This is the word. These are the words of the Lord himself. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already. Condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The sinner without Christ, dear hearer tonight, is condemned already. He's without hope. Doesn't need to wait till the judgment day to find out whether he's a condemned man or not. He can know it right now. The Lord Jesus says, if you do not believe in the Son of God, you're condemned already. Condemned to a lost eternity. Condemned to the fires of the bottomless pit. Condemned to outer darkness. Condemned to a place where there is no God and no hope and no salvation and no rescue. That was the lot of Judas. Judas was a condemned man. Throughout his life, Judas remained in a hopeless state. Because you see, Judas Iscariot never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as Savior. Some people use Judas Iscariot's plight as proof that a man can be saved and lost. There's just something wrong with that. Judas Iscariot was never saved. Never saved. Judas Iscariot never knew the Lord in a saving fashion. You turn, please, to John 13. John chapter 13. And here is the great chapter on the Lord Jesus taking that humble place of the servant and washing the disciples' feet. Now we read in John 13 verse 10. Jesus saith unto him, that is Simon Peter, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now when the Lord Jesus was talking about the disciples being clean, he wasn't talking about them being washed with water. It's referring to their sins being washed away, being clean from their sins. So the Lord is saying here, but is clean every whit yet, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So there's the Lord Jesus stating the fact that Judas Iscariot was never cleansed. He was never saved. He never knew the Lord. The Savior made it clear that this one who would betray him had never been washed clean. His soul was polluted with wickedness and vile thoughts against the Son of God. For that reason, the Lord Jesus said, woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. The Lord pronounces a woe upon Judas Iscariot, a woe unto Judas Iscariot. Woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And then the Lord went on to say, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Matthew 26 verse 24. Think of it. Think of what the Lord is saying here. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. If you think of the day that this child, whom his father called Judas, you think of the day that child was born into that home. Simon probably would have said, oh, this is a good day. This is a good day. I've been blessed with a son. This is a good day. And yet the Lord Jesus said, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. It would have been better if Simon had never been able to say, I have become the father of a son. It would have been better had Judas never seen the light of day. Because he betrayed the Lord. Because he was a traitor. And he would pay for his sin in a Christless hell forever. That's why the Lord said it would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Better never to have been born than to go through life rejecting Christ and perishing in a lost eternity. And those are not my words. Those are the words of the Lord himself. So we've looked at Judas and his background. Let us look at Judas and his behavior. While addressing his followers, the Lord made a very revealing statement. There in John chapter 6 again in our reading. In verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. Now there were quite a number of those who professed to be the disciples of the Lord with the Savior that day. Because we are told many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So there was quite a number of people there that day. And yet the Lord Jesus said, there are some of you that believe not. The Lord knew who were believers and who were not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. The Lord knew from the beginning that Judas would be the one who would betray him. He knew from the beginning. This wasn't something that just came into the Savior's mind during those 3 years that he was upon earth in his ministry. He knew from the beginning. Early on in his ministry, he identified Judas to be the one of whom the prophets spoke. In John 13, again in verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. That the scripture might be fulfilled. The Lord was quoting Psalm 41 verse 9. But mark those words. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. And here we find that the Lord knew from the beginning who would betray him. And yet the Lord still chose him. The Lord knew that Judas was the betrayer, the traitor, the son of perdition. He knew that. He knew that Judas would betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Yet he still chose him to be one of his disciples. How can we explain that? Why did the Lord choose Judas, knowing full well that Judas would betray him? It should be pointed out that Judas was not coerced into doing what he did. No invisible hand forced him to betray the Son of God. He acted freely of his own volition and so was responsible for his own actions. We must remember that. Judas was responsible for his own actions. In the day of judgment, Judas will not be able to blame somebody else. Judas was responsible for his own actions. So how do we reconcile the fact that Judas's treachery was prophesied and predetermined with the fact that he was chosen by the Lord to be one of his disciples? Simple answer is that God, who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, had foreordained that Christ would be betrayed and that he would die for the sins of his people. It was foreordained that he would be betrayed. The Savior himself affirmed both these facts in Luke 22, verse 23. Truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. It was determined that the Lord would go forth and go to Calvary and there die for our sins, and that he would be betrayed by this man Judas. The sovereign God simply included this rebel in his plan, which involved his only begotten son going to Calvary, and God included the betrayer in his plan, knowing that Judas acted of his own volition. He wasn't forced to do what he did. He wasn't coerced. He did it of his own free will. He's a condemned man because of what he did. Notice not only that he was chosen, we notice also that he was cunning. It is amazing that Judas, who was one of the 12, for 3 years, never came under suspicion by any of the other disciples. This surely demonstrates for us just how cunning this individual was. Not one of the other disciples suspected Judas. Suspected him of being a traitor. Suspected him of being a false professor. Suspected him of not really being a disciple at all. They never suspected him, right up to the very end. Turn to Luke chapter 22. There in Luke 22 and verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. They're in the upper room. Christ instituteth his supper. And the Lord says, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. They didn't suspect Judas at all. Began to talk amongst themselves, who could do this to the Son of God? How cunning Judas was. Does this not show us how cunningly Judas behaved? So much so that no man suspected him. Yet this is hardly surprising, given the words of John 13 and verse 27, where we read, and after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Satan entered into him. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 says this, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And for 3 years, Judas Iscariot behaved like an angel of light. Everybody thought he was a true disciple of the Lord, but in fact, he was nothing of the kind. He was a devil. They thought he was an angel of light, and yet he was a devil. How is that possible? How is it possible for men to look upon someone like Judas Iscariot and never suspect him of being a devil? Ah, that's the work of the devil. It's the work of the devil. How the devil aids and supports the false professor into deceiving others and even deceiving themselves. That's the devil's work. But like Judas Iscariot, the Lord knows them that are his. There in John chapter 6, the Lord, we're told, knew all who believed on him. The Lord can see beyond the sham and the hypocrisy and the lies and the deceit. And he knows them that are his. He knows the heart. If the heart's not right with God, the Lord knows it. If the soul is not saved, the Lord knows that. and for the soul who's not saved. And goes where Judas went. Better for that man if he'd never been born. We notice that he was chosen. We notice that he was cunning. We notice also that he was covetous. Judas Iscariot could never be a true disciple of the Lord. Never. Because he was only interested in what he could get. He was never interested in what he could give. A disciple of the Lord, a follower of Jesus Christ, must be concerned about what he can give to the Lord. Judas Iscariot was never concerned about that. He was only interested in what he could get. This leads us to consider his love. What was the love of Judas's life? John 12, we are told, in verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Says, oh, this ointment that was used to anoint the Lord should have been sold and the money given to the poor. His love was money. The Lord said he cared not about the poor. He could never be a disciple if he didn't care about the needs of others. He could never be a disciple of the Lord if he had a love for money. The Lord Jesus should have been his love. Christ should have been the love of his life. But instead, Judas was covetous and had a love of money. As Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, that the love of money is the root of all evil. Judas Iscariot had the root of all evil in his heart. So his love of money would prevent him from ever being or becoming a true disciple of the Savior. He was only interested in what he could get. For you recall, whenever he went to the chief priests and the elders about betraying the Lord, he said this. He says, what will you give me? What will you give me? He's only interested in getting. You never read of Judas giving. You never read of Judas doing anything for the Lord. Oh, believer, we need to be more interested in what we can give to the Lord than what we can get from the Lord. In Judas's case, he was only concerned about what he could get and what he could get for the Lord. 30 pieces of silver. His love and his lying. Judas was a liar. He was off his father, the devil. This man could never be a disciple because he was not interested in the truth. We've just read there in John chapter 12. He says, why was this ointment not sold and the money given to the poor? And then the commentary is that he cared not for the poor. He was a liar. He pretended to care for the poor and he didn't care a whit about them. He wasn't interested in the truth. He didn't deal in the truth. He didn't believe in the truth. This is not the way of a true disciple. true follower of the Lord Jesus is only interested in spreading the truth, as we learned this morning, reaching the lost with the gospel. And then finally for tonight, he was a coward. What a despicable, low-down individual this Judas Iscariot was. He was cunning, he was covetous, he was a cheat. He was a cheat because he stole the Lord's money. He was the treasurer of the disciples. He carried the bag. Whatever money was collected was put in the bag. Judas was in charge of that, but he would put his hand into the bag. He would steal the money. He was a thief. He robbed God. He robbed God. As well as that, he was a coward. We see his cowardliness in Luke 22 and verse 6. When he sought opportunity to betray him unto them, in the absence of the multitude. In the absence of the multitude. He hadn't the courage to carry out his wicked deed before the gaze of the multitude. He had to do it under darkness. Because his deeds were evil. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Another characteristic that would have disqualified him from the ranks of those who were prepared to lay down their lives for the Lord. Judas Iscariot was never prepared to do that. He was a coward. He wasn't a brave man. Disciples need to be brave and courageous and strong in the Lord. What did the Lord say to the disciples in Matthew 10, verse 16? Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's what he told them before he sent them out. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. Why, you need to be courageous. You need to have courage. You need to be strong to go out as a disciple and a follower of the Lord. Go into the midst of wolves and tell men and women about the Lamb of God. That's what the Lord needs. It's the kind of followers the Lord needs. Courageous men and women. Who are strong in the Lord and go forth in the power of His might. Men like C.T. Studd. What a great man he was. C.T. Studd sent a cable message from Africa one time and said, here we dread neither death, hell, devils, nor men. We declare our gospel, Jesus Christ, God, Savior, King, crucified, risen, glorious. C.T. Studd was a courageous man. Went out to the mission field in his mid-50s. Doctors told him not to go. His wife begged him not to go. His friends advised him not to go. But God told him to go. And he went out and left his wife behind. And she supported him then. The Lord dealt with her heart. And C.T. Studd went out alone to the mission field to do a work for God. That's courage. That's what we need. That's what the Lord needs. Courageous men and women who will go out and blaze a trail for Christ. So we've looked at his background. We've looked at his behavior. We'll look at his betrayal next week. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O our God and loving Father, we take warning from the behavior of this man, Judas Iscariot. Learn so many things from from him that would warn us. O gracious God, make us a courageous, brave, strong people for the Lord. We are indeed thy sheep. And Lord, we go into this world as sheep going out into the midst of wolves. They'll tear us apart. But O God, make us strong in the Lord. May we go forth in the power of his might. We ask thee, Lord, to write the word upon our hearts tonight. May we meditate upon it. May we think about what we have heard tonight. Our Lord, be with us as we part the one from the other. Take each one of us to our homes in safety. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.